It's Thursday, it's harvest season, and it's the Hoosier Ag Today podcast. It's also October 17th, 2024, and I'm CJ Miller, your host for today's edition of the podcast, which is made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust, experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. Visit their website, ffbt.com, to learn more, or stop by your local branch to talk about your ag operation today. Coming up on today's podcast, you'll hear from Blake Russell. He's a technical agronomist with Channel Seed, as he gives us another Channel Seed harvest update. You'll also hear from Scott Downey. He's the head of the Purdue University Center for Food and Agricultural Business. And our Sabrina Halverson caught up with him in Anaheim, California over the weekend at a recent conference to discuss sales strategies for ag businesses. Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin says your wide open harvest weather window stays wide open through early next week. And you'll also hear from Tom Fritz with the EFG Group in Chicago as he takes a deeper dive into the different factors that are moving the grain markets to the positive or the negative. That's all coming your way next on your Thursday edition of the Hoosier Ag Today podcast.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, we know that when agriculture thrives, we all do. It's the heart and grit of our agricultural communities that keep the crops coming in and the livestock cared for day and night. That's why we build financial solutions around the needs and schedules of our ag clients. If you're looking for a financial partner that has over 135 years experience in understanding and supporting agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's harvest success together. First Farmers Bank and Trust, member FDIC, Equal Opportunity Lender.
A harvest update from West Central Indiana and some ideas for improving your ag business sales. I'm CJ Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today. Well, Indiana farmers have been charging hard through harvest for several weeks now with minimal interruptions. And across West Central Indiana, that remains the case even after some widespread rains earlier this week. Andy Eubank joins us now with a harvest update.
Yeah, we've had a couple of rain showers here just on and off this week, but very minimal impact. We were able to get right in the next day in most places.
Blake Russell is a technical agronomist in West Central Indiana for Channel Seeds. Corn and soybean harvest progress is still well ahead of the five-year average pace at 44% complete on corn and 57% on soybeans. In Russell's Benton, Boone, Clinton, Hendricks, Montgomery, Warren, and Fountain County area, harvest might be better than the state numbers.
I think for soybeans, we may be just a little farther along in that. We've got a lot of guys that will probably finish up our soybeans this week if they're not already. But yeah, I think for an overall perspective, corn and soybeans is right on pace or maybe just a little bit ahead.
He said farmers should be very happy with what the yield monitors are showing.
We've had some, you know, great yields depending on locations. A couple places had a little bit of drought or a little bit of stress from different diseases, but overall yields in both corn and soybeans have been very good. And our growers have met or exceeded expectations for this year.
Tar spot has been talked about at length this season, and Russell said it was indeed widespread in his area. As for how the corn crop handled tar spot,
it just kind of depends on the management and the situation. We have a lot of guys that are very proactive and spray fungicide at least once. Where we're seeing that as a good impact, you know, we're seeing anything from, you know, over 20 to 40 bushels difference from guys that did spray versus did not. It did have a huge impact in our area. And also we're dealing with some crown rot, some stalk rot, and anthracnose. So it's definitely been a year where it's been challenging from a disease standpoint.
Hear more from Blake Russell in the full Hat and Channel Seeds growing season update at HoosierAgToday.com and our mobile app. I'm Andy Eubank.
Well, if you own or manage an ag business, you know just how important it is to have the right people on board to help sell your product. Our Sabrina Halverson caught up with an ag economist from Purdue at a recent conference in Southern California to discuss how ag businesses can improve their sales.
First off, a little bit about sales strategy and what makes good salespeople.
Scott Downey, a professor of agricultural economics at Purdue University and director of the Center for Food and Agricultural Business, shared his sales expertise at the recent California Association of Pest Control Advisors Conference in Anaheim, California. With roots in the Golden State as a Cal Poly grad, Downey dove into what makes a great salesperson, offering insights on how technical professionals can sharpen their sales skills and become more effective in the field.
Understanding customers is one of those things that most salespeople think they do pretty well, But in reality, when we ask growers what their thoughts are about that, sometimes those don't align. And so we start from that perspective, and then we say those people who know their customers the best tend to be the best salespeople.
He also discussed how California's unique agricultural landscape, with its diverse crops and complex regulatory environment, offers valuable lessons for the broader agricultural community. As he pointed out, issues such as labor and water challenges in California are becoming more common across the nation, making that state's experiences a model for other regions.
The regulatory challenges, the labor challenges, are ones that tend to drift towards the Midwest. So it's almost like being a little predictive in understanding relationships.
Read more at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Sabrina Halverson.
And I'm CJ Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Farming smarter. Well, that's something we need more of in these tough economic times. And to farm smarter, you need the right tools, like the Hoosier Ag Today e-newsletter. Every morning, a roundup of the latest farm news, a statewide ag weather forecast, and a recap of the markets is delivered to your email inbox. Start your day smarter. Sign up for the Hoosier Ag Today e-newsletter. It's free. Sign up today, get smarter tomorrow at HoosierAgToday.com and the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app.
I've got no major problems for you here in the Hoosier Ag Today forecast. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Here's what's going on. High pressure slowly sagging off to the east and south today. It's enough that we're going to get on the backside of it. Southwest flow is going to be in here for the next 4 days. The high never really leaves the U.S. It sits over the southeastern U.S., interacting with warmer air. It's warming itself, the air mass, but the high sits here, and so that blocks any activity trying to come our way from the west. There's a significant weather system trying to come together in the Four Corners region here tomorrow into the weekend, and it doesn't get any farther east than Kansas and Nebraska through Monday. Finally kicks out and moves eastward as the high breaks up next week, a Tuesday, Wednesday. But from now through Monday, we're looking at sunny, warm, and dry weather all the way through the Hoosier State. This is another great run at harvest here. I know beans are wrapping up in a lot of areas. Still plenty of corn to go. You can do it all here as we finish out this week and go through the weekend. All right, let's fast forward then to next Tuesday. I think by the time we get to Tuesday midday, the remains of that Four Corners system that we talked about earlier make it into Illinois. But moving farther east, it encounters this very dry air mass, and it's just out of moisture. There's nothing left. So maybe we see clouds and a few spits and sprinkles or the odd shower Tuesday afternoon and evening. But by midnight, it's done and gone, and we are back to sunny, dry weather Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of next week. Now, Thursday, there's a system that moves through the Great Lakes, so I think we can see some clouds in Indiana, but I'm not keen on adding moisture right now. That system in the Great Lakes also opens the door to another round of cold air. So Friday the 25th, we start to see temperatures drop a little bit, and then we're chilly for the weekend of the 26th and 27th. That's the way we're stacking things up. No major problems in this forecast when it gets to harvest. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Harvest means early mornings, late nights, and long days in the field. While you're out there each day until the last pass is made and the job is done, know that your friends at Farm Credit Mid-America see your hard work and appreciate all of your long hours. We know that harvest is a busy season for you, but when you need a lender that can rise with you, give us a call at 800-444-FARM. This fall, we rise together. Subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
The markets end the day mixed with harvest at the halfway mark. This is Hoosier Ag Today, and I'm CJ Miller with your Wednesday Farm Market Review. With grain market analysis, it's time to check in with Tom Fritz with the EFG Group in Chicago. We both spoke at the close of trade on Wednesday. USDA says 47% of the U.S. corn crop, 67% of the nation's soybeans are now harvested. And Tom, I understand that the favorable harvest weather forecast across the U.S. over the next several days is what's been putting a great deal of pressure on these grain markets.
Well, not only that, CJ, weather's been pretty wide open, you know, to get things done. You know, it's been reflected in interior basis levels, but starting to see that change. Interior basis levels for soybeans are starting to improve. Really, since the first of the month, your Gulf basis level for soybeans is up anywhere from 30 to 40 cents. Interior corn basis levels, they're starting to improve at river locations. And we're seeing our Gulf basis show some, not the big improvement that the bean market saw, but, you know, your Gulf basis for corn is about a dime or so since the first of the month. So, you know, you can talk about, you know, harvest pressure, but, you know, last few days we've seen corn spreads tightened up. So where's the harvest pressure? And I do know the producer, you know, he's not happy with prices, so he's going to try to put away as much as possible. So, you know, I think the terms of harvest pressure are mostly from the speculator, if you will. As far as today is concerned, the corn market was all about that announcement from the USDA between announced sales to Mexico and unknown, just a hair shy of 2 million tons. I can't remember the last time I saw a sales announcement for corn in just one day that big. And adding to that, South Korea has been a relatively active buyer in the global corn market. You know, they don't tell you who they're buying it from, but usually the sources are either the U.S. or South America. I'm also hearing South American corn prices are increasing. So you put it all together, you know, I think corn, yeah, we've got a big crop out there. And the talk is it may get bigger, you know, as evidenced by the yield hike from September to October. And so, you know, as we get closer to the next report in November, the trade's going to talk about, ooh, are we going to see another yield hike? But the bottom line is we've got a lot of corn out there, but the low prices are attracting some business. And that's what low prices are supposed to do. You know, a long time ago, I learned low prices are to attract business. High prices are to kill business. So bottom line, we are attracting some pretty decent business. And if you look at the technical configurations of the corn charts, we are in support. Is it rock solid support? No, you could still take markets a little bit lower, but I think for the near term, December corn's trying to find some psychological support at the $4 mark. Wheat market bounced along with corn today. You know, what's behind the wheat market? I think a lot of it went along for the ride with the recent break in the grain markets. But, you know, we're starting to see, well, we have been seeing higher wheat prices come out of the Black Sea area. And, you know, the break originally started off the crop report on Friday. And, you know, the trade was a little bit dismayed at global stocks went up. Well, the reason global stocks went up on wheat was a higher carry-in. Total usage has, you know, it's declining a little bit. But, you know, the bottom line is wheat production, stocks to usage, is at, what is it, a five-year low, six-year low? So, you know, bottom line is I don't think the wheat market's going really anywhere appreciable on the downside. But the upside remains limited for the time being. So I'm trying to say the wheat market's just going to move into a trading range affair, as is your corn market. We've got some pretty good demand to support the corn, but I don't think we have enough demand yet to take the corn market higher over and above what we saw a week or so ago. That's going to have to come from South America. And right now, South America weather, you know, the seasonal rains are occurring. And, you know, that's going to put a damper on things, at least for the time being. And those seasonal rains are one reason why the soybean market really can't sustain a bounce. It tried to get a little bit of a bounce going earlier today, but nothing, you know, really couldn't follow through. And I think it's because the rains in South America are indeed coming. In fact, they are actually occurring in some of the drier areas of the soybean areas down there. And bottom line is, where are you going to go with a 550 million bushel carryout? You're going nowhere, at least on the upside. So here we are. We see bean prices probing the support, the technical support that was established back in August. Same thing holds true for the meal market. You saw record crush numbers yesterday from the NOPA organization for the month of September. That tried to support the soybean oil. Well, it did for a day, but now I think soybean oil is succumbing to just the overall bearish look at the soybean complex in general. You know, we've got a lot of beans out there. We've got a lot of beans to crush, and board crush margins continue to be quite good. So the processor, he's going to continue to stand in and crush his brains out, as I call it. And, so that in turn is going to eventually weigh on the meal market. It's going to weigh on the bean oil market, even though bean oil has some really good support developing from the renewable fuel sector, especially the new renewable aviation fuels. So, but for the time being, the bean complex is still trying to absorb that monster crop out there. And, I think it's going to take a little while to, totally get that into the market system. So the bean market, it's going to struggle trying to sustain any kind of a rally.
Tom Fritz with the EFG Group in Chicago. Settlements from Wednesday, December corn up 3.5 cents at 404¾. March 3 higher at 420½. November soybeans, though, dropping 11 to 980. January, 9.5 lower at 994. But December wheat up 5.5 to 585. December live cattle, 7 cents higher at 186.60. And December lean hogs, sharply higher, climbing $2.47 to 77.70. Check out our website, HoosierAgToday.com, your home for all the latest Indiana farm news and market information. I'm CJ Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.